Hey everyone, it's Chris Frangiola, and I'm the host of your new favorite podcast, Cover to Cover. Each week on Cover to Cover, I scour the world's newspapers to bring you the craziest stories in fashion, music, pop culture, food, you name it, we give you the comedy angle on all of it. If this sounds up your alley, listen to Cover to Cover on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
How you going? G'day, mate. Crikey. Put another shrimp in the bobby. Crocodile mile. Rising eye. Rollerblades. Razor blades. Everglades. Evian water. Where sit down comedy. Stand up. Laughter giggles. Can you tell I'm in Australia? Can you tell I've nailed the accent? They don't like it when you do the accent down here. They don't mind it. They don't love it, but they'll probably call you a funny word you don't understand under your breath, and I don't blame them. Hey guys, welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Down under, things are good. It's a beautiful fucking day. It's 2:47 p.m. It's probably late at night where you are. Hope you're feeling good. Hope you're living your best life. Man, couple things right out of the gate that I want to talk about. Did you see that Frontier Airlines and Spirit Airlines have merged to form the shittiest airline of all time? Never flown Frontier and felt good about it. Never flown Spirit Airlines and bragged about it. Case closed. It's just one of those things where you go, do two negatives make a positive? Is that why you're doing this? No one has ever gone out of their way. It's not a first option. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, these airlines are ridiculed and filled with problems from top to bottom. They got top to bottom problems. And I don't think my bags ever fit. I don't think you actually can check bags on a Spirit Frontier flight. Are they going to combine the names into one, like Spruntier? Or Fear It, Frontier and Spirit. If you combine them, it's Fear It Airlines, and you do. Hi, welcome aboard Fear It Airlines. We know you're a little terrified of sitting in the seat you're sitting in, and if you got a seatbelt, if you're one of the lucky six passengers in a seat with a seatbelt, congratulations. The rest of you, hold on for dear life. Grab the person next to you or whatever that is next to you, because anything and anyone is allowed to board this flight. We don't even check the tickets. We don't give a fuck. The plane's being flown by one of those Uber robots that drove the first Uber robot cars. That's right. It's not safe, but we do have tons and tons of Zima. Fear It Airlines. Oops. That'll be their slogan. Oops. Like, because every time someone goes, hey, what about, do you guys, is there, the bathroom's locked. Yeah. Oops. Hey, the turbulence is getting pretty scary. You guys want to turn the lights on or maybe make an announcement? Yeah. Oops. Oops Airline. That's another one I would probably stay away from purchasing a ticket on. Well, good for them. You know, it's, I guess, you know, worse apart, better together. Is that the mindset? Either way, congrats to anyone risking their life on Fear It Airlines. I flew Delta down here. I fuck with Delta hard, man. They've never really steered me wrong, you know? Speaking of not getting steered wrong, I checked out this Disney Plus Beatles doc. Holy hell, it's good. It's good. You got to be patient. It's basically getting to watch the Beatles hang out with each other and work on an album and a concert. It's good. You see, like, the drama. Every band goes through it, man. Even the Beatles were not immune to the struggles and the chaos that four musicians trying to do one thing and be one entity provide. Paul definitely leads the charge. He's the fucking Dreamweaver. John and Oko has the energy of like a bowl of soup that's been sitting around too long. Does that make sense? You're like, oh, is that still good? And then you go over to it and you're like, it still looks like soup, but I don't know what it tastes like. That's Yoko Ono. She's constantly just sitting around lingering, staring at people. Her energy just sucks. That being said, John and Paul have a little bit of a tiff riff. They figure it out. Spoiler alert. But it's just a great fly on the wall, peel the curtain back documentary where you get to see one of the greatest bands of all time work together. So that's a recommendation. I've also just been going down some YouTube rabbit holes of some weird shit, man. Animal attack videos. I got on one
big rabbit hole
of those, and that's tough to get out of. Because once you see two, you're in it to win it. I must have watched 40. Not like people getting mauled to death, but just getting chased or scratched or bitten or clawed or chomped or dragged or, you know, you pick an adjective to describe something, you know, unfavorable. The crocodile attack is probably the most vicious. The tiger ones are any tiger, lion, or bear. I mean, that's, oh my, for sure. You know what I'm saying? By the way, oh my, more like,
get out of there. I'm bleeding from the inside. I can see my ribs. Garrett, why are you taping this? Get the fuck inside. Oh, God. Tell my kids I love them. I'm bleeding from the inside. Oh, my God. The bear's eating my dick.
But the crocodile ones are tough to watch because these guys, they get a lot done in one bite, you know? They're like the guy at the buffet where you see him walk over and he comes back with three plates. You think he works there because he's so good at holding plates. But he sits down and he gets you like a plate and a half in two bites. That's what these crocodiles do to strangers. By the way, what the fuck are you doing around crocodiles in the first place? Anyone who gets attacked by a crocodile, stop putting yourself in situations where crocodiles can be. If I'm running for public office, that's going to be my first. Stop being around places. It's Dr. Phil. It's always Dr. Phil. Look, if you're getting attacked by a crocodile, chances are you're doing something in your life that's conducive to a negative energy that crocodiles can pick up on. Because, look, as we go through our day, morning, noon, and night, how many of you raise your hand are around crocodiles in a given week? And keep that hand raised if you've ever fantasized about trying to quickly stick it in a croc's mouth and get it out. A little cock croc action, yeah? And keep that hand raised one more time for the eight of you who still have a hand raised. If you've ever wondered if Lou Bega has ever, if he still keeps in touch with all these women he sings about. And keep that hand raised still one more time if you've burnt your hand on a chicken pot pie while wrapping Christmas presents for kids that you didn't know you have. We'll be right back.
I almost died while I was out here. I rode a jet ski and I almost died. That's a good teaser. That's a great start to a story. I'm not even joking, by the way. I almost died on a jet ski here in the Gold Coast. Before I even started filming, that would have been a tough text to shoot to The Rock. Hey, bro, hope all's well. So look, I don't have a head. Here's what happened. I'm jet skiing on the water. It's beautiful. It's one of those guided tours where you follow around a guy. There's about eight of you, and you follow him on the jet ski, and you follow a path, and it's great. It's about an hour and a half, and it's fun. And there's other boats out. It's a big body of water that, you know, it's not just us. We didn't just have the whole fucking lake, ocean. God, I always forget what non-oceans are called, other than Billy and the Pacific. What else is there? Indian, Atlantic, what else? You know, anyway, lagoon. It's not a pond. That's small. This is a fucking, it's not a lake. Maybe it's a lake, because I don't think it's attached to the ocean, but it might be. I don't know. Hey, I don't know. These are the conversations, by the way, that are on Feared Airlines. Hey, what other bodies of water are there other than lagoons and Billy Oceans? Driving around, cruising in Tom Cruise control, feeling good. And a few boats are getting close to where even I'm like, these guys, hey, man, a little space. 6 feet. I know we're not wearing masks, but fucking let's share the water, please. And a fishing boat comes by pretty close. And I'm first behind the tour guide. There was five other couples, and I'm the only one solo on my ski. And I'm first behind, keeping pace, setting the tone. I see the guide slow down. And I see him, like, lean back, and looks like he's, like, caught up in something. And then I see him hold up a fish. I see him holding a fish, and I was like, this motherfucker stopped to get a fish? I was like, bro, we're paying you for a tour so we can peruse around the water and have a blast, and you're just stopping this so you can get a little midday snack, you fucking bear. I don't say that. I'm thinking all that. Clearly, would have been great if I screamed it at him. Hey, man, you stopping for snacks? You fucking bear? Huh? Nothing, man. So I see him struggling, holds up a fish, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a thin fishing line, I see it. I see it. Like, it starts to kind of glisten in the sun where I'm like, holy shit. And I see the line going from him past me. So clearly from the boat, it got stuck on their, I don't know how it got stuck from their boat or out of the water. And now it's pressing on the side of my neck. The fucking fishing line is being stretched out, by the way, by like 100 feet. And is, so think of just the pressure of pulling a fishing line that far, and it's tight. Like it's, you know, when you see like those guys that will tightrope walk, and they'll make sure the rope or the line is really, you know, it's being pulled hard on both sides. It's attached to two different ends so that it's like very just straight and hard. And you know, that's what this fishing line was doing on my fucking neck. And I had a brief moment where I go, because it started to feel like it was pushing into my neck on my vein. I was like, oh, if this thing gets wrapped around me, it's going to just fucking, it's either going to choke me or it's going to just cut across my neck and just slice my neck open. Hey, have you ever thought while you're driving a jet ski that a fishing line could cut off your head? It will slice across your vein. It'll cut right through your neck and skin. It'll make the blood pop out. And your head will fall off in the water. And nobody will ever find you, because your body will still be driving. And the people behind you won't say anything, because you were late and held the tour up to begin with. True story. I was a little late. 5 minutes late. I got some dirty looks. So for real, people probably would have been like, that's what you get. How you going? How you going now? I'm freaking out. I'm thinking I'm about to get sliced and diced, Mortal Kombat style. This is like a finishing move. Fishing line. And the tour guide, God bless him, I wish I could remember his name. Let's say it's fucking Chris Hemsworth. He leans up and takes a bite of the fishing line and fucking breaks it in half. And all of a sudden, the string just pops off my neck. Just like that. Life saved. Freaking out? Oh, no. Life in jeopardy, neck about to be sliced off by a fucking fishing line. Right after I was told that Pirates of the Caribbean filmed moments away from where we were skiing around. Bye-bye neck, no head. Hey, you got no head, Adam. Hey, how's your head doing? Oh, dude, it got sliced off. Oh, shit. How are you talking to me right now? And then all of a sudden, takes a bite out of crime right into that fishnet. Hemsworth. Life saved. Life saved, just like that. I mean, what a fuck. I get on the phone with my mom a few moments later. She's like, how was your day? I was like, I almost died from a jet ski. A fish line sliced my head. How are you? She's like, wait, what? I was like, don't worry about it. I'm fine. And she wanted the rest of the details. I was like, ain't happening, Mom. Ain't putting you through the hell that almost twas. But holy shit. I don't think it's made me rethink jet skiing, but it definitely, it's one of those things you're like, I should be free and worry without worry when you're jet skiing. It's just such a, being out on the water like that is, it's truly one of my favorite activities. If you have never jet skied, you're missing out. Put it at the top of the list. It's better than roller coasters, in my opinion. It's a better thrill. Oh, it's not really a thrill. It's just, it's relaxing and exciting. And it's, I guess I like driving too. So it's, you're in control of your transportation. I don't know. Driving on water doesn't get any fucking cooler than that. I don't know. And then you get astronauts that are like, what about driving in space? And you're like, yeah, that's cool. But I can't go there, Buzz Aldrin. Would you go to space? Do you ever ask yourself that? If I had the opportunity, would I do it? I do that a lot. Would I go to space? If I was in a position, because look, we all have done shit that's dope. It's just relative to you and your life and what you think is dope. But we've all done dope shit. We've all done stuff we go, that was fucking awesome. We've all done it. Whether it's just, thrown a TV into a hot tub and fucking, scared your neighbor or gotten some sweet air on a bike off a jump or had an amazing, sexual encounter that was unexpected and celebrated by everyone that paid to watch it. Either way, we've all done stuff worthy of going, wow, can't believe I got to do that. So, space, it comes around, what do? You get the offer. Do you go? It's free, by the way. You don't have to pay for it. Because clearly that is something that I think gets in the way for a lot of people to consider that as an option. It's a lot of money to go up there. I think Tom Cruise got picked by Bezos as one of like the 6 golden ticket winners to go up there. If you want to see space, get into my rocket and let's go. We're gonna watch Jerry Maguire. You'll have to suck my balls. There's nothing to it. There is no time to go to space, then the present and right now. I'll pay for all the stuff and you'll eat space ice cream. There's no place to poop or pee pee. You'll do it in a bag and you'll see Mars and the moon and Uranus. Might be a little sore from all the space shit. I don't know if I'd go. I am somewhat afraid of heights, but I'm more afraid of not being able to breathe. Hey, losing my oxygen. And I've seen too many space movies where shit goes wrong. Cue Apollo 13. Cue that movie with Ryan Reynolds where some fucking alien eats everybody on the ship. And there's no way out except fucking the galaxy. Star Wars, Spaceballs. If I could be on a big-ass ship, I guess I'd feel better. But even so, it's almost like big ship, more cause for concern. More money, more problems, more space, more concerns. So I don't think I'd go. But check in with me when I'm 80. Because at that point, I think I'd just say, fuck it. I'm close to the end. I want to live it up. But then again, also devil's advocate. I don't need, at 80, unless you're truly just sitting around watching Naked and Afraid, what do you need to fill you up? Space? At 80? You don't know what your body is willing to go through. What if you have a fucking stroke halfway up the tarmac to the space shuttle? Guy who's never been to any sort of fucking space launch. The tarmac to the space shuttle. What if you freak out? That being said, I think I would skydive before I'd go to space. just because that does feel like a rush. Everyone always says, conquer your fears, skydive. Hey, what? Why? Why do I need to conquer my fears? Fears are good. Fears keep you in check, you know? I don't think you got to conquer everything you're afraid of. It's okay to be afraid of stuff. Who said that? LeVar Burton? Somebody famous said it.
Starting a business feels a lot like starting a podcast. At first, you're sitting there going, dude, is this genius or am I about to embarrass myself publicly for the next 5 years? And honestly, that little panic never fully goes away. I remember when we first started building my show, every little thing felt complicated. Logos, merch ideas, websites, promoting the episodes. It's a lot. That's why I wish something like Shopify had been around when we were first getting started. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They make it ridiculously easy to build a clean online store with templates that actually look professional, even if you're figuring it out as you go. And the AI tools, dude, they're wild. Shopify can help write product descriptions, page headlines, even improve your product photos. So instead of spending 8 hours trying to sound like a marketing genius, you can actually focus on your biz or your podcast or whatever dream is currently keeping you awake like me at 2 to 3 a.m. Plus, Shopify handles everything in one place. Inventory, payments, analytics, shipping, all of it. And that purple Shop Pay button, absolute game changer. Fewer abandoned carts, more people actually buying your stuff. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Go to Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. That's Shopify.com/aboutlastnight.
Football doing your head in this summer? Well, L'Oreal Paris has your back. Or should we say your hair? Because every missed goal, foul, penalty and minute of extra time, and don't even get us started on VAR, leads to stress, and stress leads to hair loss. Elvive Growth Booster fights hair loss, so you can keep your hair on whatever the score. L'Oreal Paris Elvive Growth Booster. Keep calm and keep your hair on. Shop now at Amazon Boots and major supermarkets.
From Prime Video, the all-new sequel Your Fault London is finally here.
You know what I want?
Well, you're going to have to come get it.
New starts.
Don't forget about me when you're at Oxford.
New friends.
Nick wanted to keep us a secret.
It's a bit toxic, no?
New threats.
We two hang out a lot.
She's just a colleague.
You need to figure out what your priorities are.
Get ready for Your Fault London. New movie. Watch now. Only on Prime Video.
There's a woman right now. I think she was on Teen Mom. But first of all, we all remember Stephanie Maddow, the 90 Day Fiancé gal that was selling her farts, jarred farts, ended up going to the hospital after making, almost half a mil on these fucking fart jars. So are you doing enough for your family? Check in with yourself. We don't know, because she's selling jarred farts and making sweet cash money. She was, anyway. That's my point. She was. Stephanie Maddow, if you were following that story, got sick. She had like a black bean smoothie and a fucking diarrhea barbecue chicken salad, and thought she was having a heart attack. And it was her body just being like, you're fighting too much, sweetheart. You're fighting too much. Your body can't take it. Your heart's falling apart. Your asshole's puckering up. And your lungs are shutting down. So her body just was like, hey, we're going to peace out and go on a little vacay because you're farting too much. And she went to the hospital and thought she was having a heart attack. And they go, you just got to fart really bad. Can you imagine what that was like? The doctor's like, you're actually not dying, but if you don't fart, you might have a real heart attack. And then what do they do? Do they just like, do they give her stuff? Do they give her like, you know, some sort of gas X? Or do they just like, you know, blow air into her and then it comes out? I had a buddy in high school, Alan Christou. Shout out to Alan. Now he's a firefighter. He he could suck in ass. He could suck air through his ass and then fart it out on cue. Maybe one of the most impressive things to date I've ever seen a human being do. And I've seen Michael Jordan live. This kid at basketball camp, we'd all gather around. He would lean back on his back and hold his legs up like he was, you know, doing a nice hamstring stretch. And you would hear him go and suck the air in through his butt and then go and farted out. And I laughed until I cried. It sounds like a review for a Tom Hanks movie, but it was actually the review for a buddy from high school who could suck air in through his butt and fart it out. And we were loving it, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, just laughing our stupid high school asses off. So funny. So, and where do you learn you can do that? Is that like a relative that you see once a year teaches you that trick, and then you do it a few times, and then you go visit that relative on their deathbed, and they're like, are you doing the fart trick? Keep it alive for me, Alan. Either way, impressive, but I don't know how you get that fart out from Stephanie Maddow. I digress. Cut to, hey, are we done selling farts? Nope. Q, crazy woman from Teen Mom. Don't know her name, not important, but on Instagram, I posted this a couple days ago, she is now pooping into little cups and then selling her poop. She's selling her fucking poop. Like, I get very angry when stuff like this happens. That's my initial response, is anger and then laughter and then who gives a shit. Anger because I'm like, someone's buying it. There's a problem with people like this who get famous for doing nothing, right? Teen Mom. Even the Kardashians for quite some time until they actually created their own like clothing lines and cologne lines and perfume, what have you, lipstick. Before all that, it was just like, hey, watch me be rich and live a better life than you. You want to watch that? And we all did. It's like 10 years, and then they started doing shit. Some of them still don't do anything other than, hey, watch me be rich and do dumb shit. And that's infuriating because, you know, I guess it just shines a light on where we live. You go, man, enough people want to watch that. And enough people want to buy jarred shit from F-list celebs on shows like Teen Mom, where it's like you have the audacity to show your pregnancy, your premature pregnancy on TV. Ugh, the kid's going to grow up and see that, know that. That's the least of their problems. Kid's mom's going to grow up and they're going to see your mom was selling her shit on the internet. Although by that time when the kid's 15, who knows what's happening in this world? Maybe everyone's selling shit. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. is like, you know, so obviously we launched RDJ.com. We're selling all sorts of fun gifts, lip balms, candy canes that are seasonal. Okay, they're not just for Christmas. They're also for 4th of July, Halloween candy canes. And our hot selling item at the current moment is my shit. It's a tiny little RDJ shit pellets. And you can buy them for $15 a jar, or you can get a king size, and that's $45. And if you buy one right now, we're going to send in one signed Iron Man t-shirt or tank top of your choice. So dial now. Jarred shit. 2022. I guess, hey, man, if anything, at least it took long enough. You know, at least if this was happening in like the 90s, I think that would definitely put an asterisk next to the 90s. You know, you go, fuck, dude, we got Pearl Jam and we got Will Smith and Hanks in his prime and, you know, baseball was saved and Jordan, you know, Oprah just making dreams and memories, you know. But there'd be a big asterisk next to that decade if people were selling shit. So don't buy that. If this did anything, I hope it just educated you to not go out there and spend your money on this ladies jarred shit. But do watch the video of her talking about how she's selling it, because that was humorous. She when she goes, I do my little bloop and then I wipe my bloop, I'm like, wow, you bleeped out. Oh, she goes, number bloop. She bleeped out number two and then she bleeped out butt. I guess so she doesn't get canceled. Yikes. I haven't been drinking out here. That's kind of been nice. I don't miss it. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to get sober, I think, because I do like alcohol. But I am definitely scaling it back, man. I've drank twice in the month and a half I've been out here, and I don't miss it, man. A few times even I was like, I should go have a cocktail and like let loose. And I didn't. When I got to the point of doing that, I didn't want to. And I'll be honest, the last one I had was I stayed up late to watch the Australian Open final between Medvedev and Nadal. It was awesome. I actually stayed up and watched my mom while she was in Seattle. She's such an adorable woman. I love her so much. She gets up at you know, she had set her alarm. I think she went to bed around 9 and set her alarm for midnight because the Australian Open was on at midnight, and she got up early to watch it, and it was the cutest shit I've ever seen. And she gets up early and she to watch it, and I call her up and I watch the final with her. And for me, it was like 11 p.m. or something like that. For her, it was midnight. And so we watched it on FaceTime together. She loves tennis, played doubles and singles in high school and college, and just loves it. I took her and my stepdad, George, to the U.S. Open a few years ago, which was bucket list shit and truly unforgettable. I'm so glad we did it. Seeing my mom walk into the U.S. Open, it's just, I think about it often. It was one of the happiest times I've ever seen her because she just loves tennis so much, and she'd never been to any big tournament. And I took her, and it was unbelievable. She was so happy. She had such a good time. It was just so awesome. It was really special. So staying up to watch the match with her was pretty great. And I went down to the bar because there was a nice sports bar in our hotel, which actually is playing the Super Bowl on Monday at 9:30 a.m. They're going to pack the bar. And I'm so bummed. It's our last shoot day. And you know, whatever, I got no horse in the race, but it's fun. The Super Bowl is a fun game to have a party and watch it and just be around, and I'm not gonna get that, and that's fine. But I definitely want to watch it. Halftime show, commercials, it's just fucking fun. So can't be in the bar to watch it. Went down there, a lot of TVs, watched the Open, got a vodka soda, took two sips, and then I was like, Am I done drinking? I definitely had a moment where I thought that. Because, look, I'm a tequila vodka guy. That's pretty much it. I'll do shots of stuff here and there. Don't really drink beer. Unless it's at a baseball game and I truly, you know, that's, it's fun to do it then. Yeah. But even then, I'm just, I don't know. I don't want the calories and I've never really yearned for the flavor. But I do like beer. It's great. I've been to breweries and all that. And it's, I don't hate beer. I just don't, it's not my go-to. But haven't smoked at all since I've been on here, so that's been nice. So my lungs and my voice has been where it should be. It's been right in the Vince McMahon pocket, which has been right here. So I watch so much stuff. I'm right in the pocket for Vince McMahon. And right here. You know, I just kept it right here the whole time. Rocky, I'm going to send you down to the Soul Patrol, will be the Kings of Riyadh. It's been awesome, man. I hope the real Vince McMahon sees it and signs off on my performance. It's, look, just like anything, like my Jay Leno and Pam and Tommy, it's, you know, I guess an impression. It's my take on the guy. I did as much to look like these people as the makeup department and show provides. And then it's on you, performance-wise, tone, vibe, energy, point of view. But I think I'm doing a good job. I'm getting some nice feedback. But we'll see. I guess we'll see when it comes out and see how people respond. Let the internet decide, because they're fair. Australia is known for what? Kangaroos, koalas, Vegemite, Nicole Kidman. I Googled fun facts in Australia, and what came up? Gold Coast stripper has two vaginas. Google it. Two vaginas, one for work and one for personal life. Hilarious. I said on stage, I go, I Googled fun facts about Australia, and two vagina women came up, and they all started laughing. I go, yeah. I was like, all right, cool. I guess, you know, I thought there'd be something a little more, just not as, you guys just went right to the top, the thing that is the craziest thing. Jumping right in the deep end without a life preserver. Two vaginas. And I said on stage, I go, how do you bring that up if you're on a date? Like, is that first date dinner information? You know, because people always withhold certain facts about themselves and wait until they get to know each other a little bit more. Is it just like, so what do you do for work? Well, I'm a construction guy by trade, but I've recently got into developing apps. And so I'm really trying to see how far that can take me. It's a lucrative, excuse me, I almost threw up in my mouth. It's a lucrative job if you can find a, you know, a sector of it where things really line up in your favor. But for right now, I'm just going to see where the wind takes me. And what about you? Anything I should know about you before we get going here? Are you allergic to any foods? You have a third nipple or a second vagina? Oh my God, do you have a second vagina? Like, how do you bring that up? Or does she bring it up? hey, I just want you to know that when, if we get back to my place, there's some things you're going to see that you've probably never seen. Which, by the way, as a dude, that just excites him. Because dudes are freaks and pervs and just, you know, a third nipple. I mean, I remember when I would prank call phone sex places, hotlines as a kid. One day my buddy was like, how many boobs do you have? And she was like, two. And we were like, hell yeah, that's the perfect number that we like. If she had said like five, we would have been like, can you send a picture? That is weird and weirdly hot. And we've never seen that. And no one's going to believe us that we talked to a five boob Barbara. Two vaginas. If you get home with her and things get hot and steamy and you take the pants off and you start going downtown and she's like, that feels great. Yeah, right there. He's like, yeah, you like that? She goes, yeah. Now do the other one. Now do the other one. That's one of those Tim Taylor look right in the camera, Jim from The Office faces. Now do the other one. Is that a deal breaker? Probably. But for some people, probably not. And that's, again, why it's a great time to be alive. Because there's somebody out there that's like, man, I don't hook up with a girl unless she's got at least two vaginas. Maybe one vagina can root for the Rams, one vagina can root for the Bengals. Maybe that's it's a split household. Who are you guys rooting for in the Super Bowl? Hey, who fucking cares? My Seahawks aren't in it, so I do not care as much. I do hate the Rams. I think a lot of their LA Ram fans are fair weather fans. I think they jumped on the bandwagon. It's a lot of celebrity fused, too high ticket price. They put the team together very LA fashion. Look, it's a great team. Aaron Donald's a lot of fun to watch. Matt Stafford seems like a cool dude. Odell Beckham, I mean, I don't know. Whatever, he's fine. Everyone's pumped for him to finally win one, I guess. Never been a huge fan. But he's great. It's fun to watch. Good for the game, right? Entertaining. Joe Burrow, the guy is exciting. And to come into the NFL in year two and do what he's doing is fucking crazy. Also, when I worked out with when Mark Sanchez and I did Fourth and Forever, the football comedy podcast, we went down to Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother, quarterback's like workout camp that he does with all the young stud quarterbacks that are either first year in the league or getting ready to go to the draft. And, you know, of course, we did that great video with me getting Josh Allen throwing a fucking dagger at my hit me right in the numbers and probably gave me internal bleeding. But Sam Darnold was there, who's now a good homie. Burrow was there. Tua was there. Sanchez was there, of course. Josh Allen. And it was cool to, A, just kick it with them and catch a few of their balls. And Joe Burrow, you could tell, was just dialed in, dude. You're like, this guy. He was about to become the number one pick, actually, that year. So everybody knew that something special was about to happen. But so I'm kind of rooting for that guy because of that, too, you know. A, I hate the Rams first and foremost, but B, I caught a few Joey B balls, and he said what up to me, and he was nice to me. So, hey, that goes a long way, right? So we'll see. It's going to be a great game. It's definitely an upset if the Bengals win. I think the Rams are favored because they're just stacked in every position from top to bottom. But and they're hosting. It's SoFi Stadium is going to be fucking – it's going to be crazy. Hopefully – it's not so expensive that Bengal fans can't come out and support, but, you know, I mean, I think I was looking at like $10,000 tickets in the nosebleeds. Get the fuck out of here. That's football, man. They make so much money off of the game. So good on them for being able to do that. But I would go to the game if I got a free ticket. It's like one of those things. Remember, it's like space. Would you go if you got offered? Yeah, I know actually a handful of people that are going because of celebrity shit. I know Adam Devine's going, probably with Rebel Wilson. Or maybe he's fronting the cost. Who knows? But the guy is not a football fan. I've never seen him talk pro football. But you go. If you're in town, you go, because it's a fun thing to go to, right? I think I saw Will Ferrell say he's going, but he's leaving his family at home. Yeah, that's the right move. It's not a family event. You go to get fucking trashed and have a good time and hopefully smoke with Snoop Dogg in the winner's locker room. Can you imagine who's coming into that locker room if they win? If the Rams win? Oh, my God. That's going to be crazy. From Snoop to Mario Lopez to Gloria Estefan to James Corden to fucking James Franco. I mean, everyone's going to be there.
And I'll even be there too. Dr. Phil, I'll mark my words. If the Rams win, okay, I'm gonna rush the field, okay? I'm gonna climb the goalpost, and I'm gonna grab the cameraman and make him take a shot. Make him just shoot right down the barrel, right in between my where my snatch and my taint meet up, and I'm gonna have a tattoo of Matt Stafford holding Joey Burrow on his shoulders. It's a Stafford Burrow piggyback ride, tattooed on the inner thigh where the snatch and the taint meet. We'll be right back.
I know there's some big commercials that they're planning. I already saw a few of them leaked. That halftime show is going to be crazy. If you're a 90s baby, get ready to fucking come in your pants, because that's just Dre, Snoop, Jay Blige, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar. Oh, my God. And special guest, a buddy of mine's buddy is working on the show, and he was like, the surprises are going to make you scream. They're going to make you scream. The surprises are going to make you scream. You know what I miss? Fucking Dippin' Dots. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. About Last Night every Wednesdays. And I think that's it. Good night, everybody. Starting a business feels a lot like starting a podcast. At first, you're sitting there going, dude, is this genius or am I about to embarrass myself publicly for the next 5 years? And honestly, that little panic never fully goes away. I remember when we first started building my show, every little thing felt complicated. Logos, merch ideas, websites, promoting the episodes. It's a lot. That's why I wish something like Shopify had been around when we were first getting started. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They make it ridiculously easy to build a clean online store with templates that actually look professional, even if you're figuring it out as you go. And the AI tools, dude, they're wild. Shopify can help write product descriptions, page headlines, even improve your product photos. So instead of spending 8 hours trying to sound like a marketing genius, you can actually focus on your biz or your podcast or whatever dream is currently keeping you awake like me at 2 to 3 a.m. Plus, Shopify handles everything in one place. Inventory, payments, analytics, shipping, all of it. And that purple Shop Pay button, absolute game changer. Fewer abandoned carts, more people actually buying your stuff. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Go to Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. That's Shopify.com/aboutlastnight.